In association with For Whom the Cowbell Tolls.com, Mississippi State's SB Nation site, this is For Whom the Podcast Tolls. And now, Daniel Black and Ethan Lee.
Hey there, folks, and welcome to their episode of For Whom the Podcast Tolls here on March 17th, 2016. This is the official podcast for whom the cowbelltolls.com, Mississippi State's SB Nation site. I'm Daniel Black, writer for Whom the Cowbell Tolls, and not joining me is fellow writer Ethan Lee, but instead co-editor of maroonandwhitenation.com and host of the Bully Barkline podcast, Justin Strawn. Hello, Justin.
Hey, Daniel, how are you?
I'm fine. Thank you for asking. How about yourself?
I'm doing well. I'll do even better if the Bulldog can figure out a way to pull off a comeback here in the bottom of the ninth.
Yeah, we are recording as the game is going on, and it's looking pretty grim.
Yeah, not too good.
And one thing about your co-hosting, I'm not filling in for Ethan today. It's interesting because you're the co-editor. I'm not going to say the rival site, but sort of the other blog.
How about, I'm trying to think, what's a good way to put it? I wouldn't say sister, but brothers in arms. How about that?
Brothers in arms, yes. I like that. I like that. But yeah, we're going to talk about baseball, sadly.
Yeah.
Mississippi State lost to Eastern Kentucky 16-12, and I assume is about to lose to Oral Roberts either 3-1 or 3-2. But we can only hope that something happens, some miracle will happen while we record, which would be kind of interesting and would sort of throw off the notes I've already taken. but let's just, and also we're going to talk about women's basketball. They're about to play in the NCAA tournament in the Starkville Regional. Is that a lack of a better term?
No, I guess it's the Starkville Pod, I guess is more of a better way of putting it, because the regional is the Bridgeport Regional.
Okay.
And the pod they're in would be the Starkville Pod. I don't know if they really have a name for like the first two rounds, but I mean, I know in the men's round, in the men's tournament, they call the first two rounds like you're putting into a pod of four teams. So I guess that's how they would word that.
I'll just go with what you said because I don't think regional's the right term there. But let's go ahead and dive in to baseball. Woo. Mississippi State fell to Eastern Kentucky on Tuesday, 16-12. I don't really know how to describe this.
I don't know that anybody does. I mean, it's, a lot of people were ticked off at Cohen. I mean, here's the thing. It's really odd because when I recorded my podcast on Sunday night, I said when I was talking about the Oregon, the big, huge sweep over Oregon, one of the things I said was, this is a team that they look great. They look good after Oregon. They look spectacular, but there's still going to be some games that where you're just scratching your heads asking yourself how they lose that game. And I didn't expect it to come so quickly.
Yeah.
But this is the team that they are. I mean, as much as people hate hearing about it and people complain about it, it's still a young team. This team is still figuring out who they are and what they are. I mean, honestly, I've gotten to the point where I feel more comfortable on the weekend than I do the weekdays because I don't know what we're doing on the weekdays with our pitching staff. I mean, this whole Johnny Holstaff thing just it's not doing it for me.
Yeah. I mentioned after our win over South Alabama, you know, we only gave up three runs and we beat
right.
them. But I mentioned to Ethan that this changing the pitchers after every other inning is getting kind of frustrating.
It is.
That we can't find one pitcher to depend on in these midweek games.
And at some point, Cohen and Wes Johnson are just going to trust one of their guys. I mean, I don't know why. I mean, I'm not sure why we took out Keegan James. Yeah, he gave it the solo home run, but after that, he looked pretty solid. And I don't know. Like I said, we just this whole constantly switching and swapping. I don't know if they're just trying to find somebody or if they're just not confident in them, but yeah, it's painful to watch.
So, In the Eastern Kentucky game, Connor Pilkington got the start, his first ever start, and had a for a freshman in his first ever start, had a pretty good outing.
Yeah.
Four innings pitched, giving up three hits, one run, and struck out five. And then in the fourth inning, he gave up the run, and then he was pulled.
Right.
Replaced by Cale Breaux, who's, for the most part, pitched pretty well this season. In the fifth inning, I guess at this point, we would have been up, what, well, 4-0?
Something like that. It's hard to keep track. All I know is we were up six runs two separate times.
Yeah, we were up 5-1 after the fourth inning when Connor Pilkington was pulled from the game. Cale Breaux pitched a scoreless inning, and we were up 7-1 after five innings. And Cale Breaux, he gives up three runs in the sixth inning. But the thing about it was, and then Ethan Small comes in and gives up two in the next inning, but the thing was, we were able to respond in those innings. We scored five runs to their five runs. And then, I don't know, and I think the sort of the eighth inning thing last year was, it was somewhat true, but it was more of a running joke.
Right.
And we can continue that running joke. Giving up 12-6 going into the eighth inning. Ethan Small pitching for the first part of the eighth inning. I guess the bases were either loaded or two men were on. I think the bases were loaded when he was pulled and Vance Tatum came in. And then the dam broke.
Right.
Giving up six runs. And then that just killed them in all the momentum in the entire world swung to their side and we couldn't hit.
Well, and part of that, I mean, and I just finished watching the game. We just lost 3-1.
Beautiful.
So we'll talk about that. Yeah. But I was listening to the B&B show, and Brian Haydad made a good point on there. John Cohen did every baseball manager has ever done and will do. You got a big lead, late innings. You take out your best hitters once they've gotten all their at-bats in, and you put in your best fielders. And the problem was, you're expecting not to have to have those guys come to the plate again. But because he did that, once they gave up all those runs, we had no offense anymore. I mean, there was no way we were going to win that game.
Mm-hmm.
And he made a point where he said, you know, you've got – that was a questionable move. It wasn't a smart decision. It's the decision every baseball manager makes. It's just like Pavlov's dog. I mean, you get a big lead late in inning. You're going to put your absolute best fielders out. You're going to sacrifice all offense and just go for defense. And he did exactly what every other manager has done. It backfired completely because once they tied that game up, there was no way we were winning that game because we weren't going to score. We had all of our worst bats in the game, and we just weren't going to be able to score.
Mm-hmm. And in addition to that, it's just, as a Mississippi State fan, you can sort of tell when you're out of it, whether it be tied. Maybe you have a one-run lead or it's tied, but there's always sort of one thing where you sort of have a feeling, regardless of who's in the game or whatnot, that you're thinking, we're probably going to end up losing this game. And it's probably the same for every fan base, but it's sort of...
Yeah, probably.
I wasn't necessarily thinking of the feel of the changes in the lineup. I was just thinking of pure momentum.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
And
it was gone. You're right.
And I mean, I did a preview of the Eastern Kentucky game, and they were 7-8 coming into this game. I can't think of their opponents right now, but they really weren't all that great. They had looking just simply purely on their stats, they had some pretty good players at the plate, but other than that, they really just weren't that fantastic of a team. And if a team like Eastern Kentucky scores six runs to tie it up 12-12 in the eighth inning, you know that they are obviously 1,000 times more pumped up and excited than the 9-time College World Series team.
Right.
So that was my thought process going in, and when we couldn't score in the eighth inning, I sort of felt it's over.
Yeah, and that's basically what it was. I mean, it was tough to watch. They had everything going for them. They were playing like it was their World Series, and, you know, we were just kind of, at that point, we were just hoping to figure out a way to win, and it obviously didn't work out.
Mm-hmm. But just looking back on the game, it wasn't blatantly obvious before this Eastern Kentucky game, but it is now. Our bullpen needs some it has some problems.
Yeah.
I think that is just, I mean, it's pretty much obviously just a lack of experience. I can't really think of an exact percentage, but a good majority of our bullpen is made up of freshmen. So our starting
true freshman at that.
Mm-hmm. And our starting rotation on the weekends, it's if you think of the, I'm not going to compare this team to 2013 by any means.
Right.
But in terms of just looking at the two pitching staffs, they're complete opposites.
Oh yeah.
2013 we have starting pitching, and then a lights out bullpen with Chad Giotto and Ross Mitchell, and now we have a really good starting rotation. It can be inconsistent at times, but a really good starting rotation, and our bullpen is it may be a bit harsh, but garbage.
Yeah, it's I don't know, maybe a little harsh. I mean, there's it's like I said, I mean, it's true freshman, and I think it was Bart on the broadcast tonight said, or maybe I don't remember who it was was broadcasting with him. One of them said, you know, most of these guys that we were trotting out on the mound, you know, they were out pitching in front of, you know, maybe 100 people at their high school games last year.
Mm-hmm.
And now we're putting them on Diddy Noble Field in one of the biggest stages in all of college baseball. And it doesn't appear that they're ready for that.
Yeah.
I mean, and they're going to have to get there eventually. And I think this baseball team is going to be very similar to the basketball team in the fact that in about a month from now, I think they're going to be pretty good, but there's going to be some lumps along the way. And mm-hmm. We're seeing that now.
Yeah. Coming into this season, my prediction was simply due to the lack of experience. Not only from the mound, but we've got some lack of experience at the plate too. Losing guys like Wes Ray and Lucas Laster and Ross Mitchell, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. I thought that this would be a regional team, not a really special team, but sort of a regional team. The RPI was going to be good enough that if you can get over 500, you're going to make a regional. Obviously, I don't know what our exact RPI is right now, but it's probably dipped since these last two losses. But yeah. Still going into SEC play and playing the series in Los Angeles and playing Oregon, it's still going to be a pretty solid RPI. But the thing is, I think after that Oregon series, which it definitely did for me because I predicted us to get swept, but it caught me off guard, and I'm sure it caught a lot of fans off guard that, hey, we just swept the number 9 team of the country. We could be a really, 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 really good baseball team.
Right.
And because of this, thinking about we lost these two games, that it's starting to think back to the team that I expected at the beginning of the season.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's probably good. Because I think that's a really good point, because it's like I said, there's only some games like these past two where I would hate the fact that they came back to back, but where we're just gonna be like, how is this the same team that just beat one of the best teams in the country? And we're going to get a lot of that. I mean, I'm sure we'll talk more about the Vanderbilt series here in a second, but it wouldn't surprise me to go out win two this weekend in Vanderbilt, just because, like I said, I think the midweek games are by far more dangerous for this team, just because Cohen and Johnson obviously don't know what they're doing, don't know what they have with this pitching staff in the midweek. And it's torturous to watch, because you're trying to figure out, you don't know if when they're getting ready to get pulled, if they're going to get pulled. I mean, even somebody like Zach Houston, who came out today, you think, all right, here's a guy who's experienced, who knows what he's doing, ends up throwing like 40 pitches and only got like two outs tonight. So they got to figure out this midweek stuff, because that's going to cost us more than anything else. Because I think with the way that we have our starting pitching set up, I think we're actually going to be pretty competitive in the SEC. Maybe I don't know that more than 16 or 17 wins is going to be possible, but I think that's very doable just with the way that our starters on the weekend are. But this midweek stuff, they got to figure it out.
I'll ask you this question. Do you think if Butch Thompson were still here, since Wes Johnson sort of came in, I'm not going to call it the last minute, but very very sort of at a pretty it's not a time he probably would have wanted to inherit a pitching staff. Do you think if Butch Thompson were still here, this midweek pitching staff would be a lot better than it is right now?
No, because I don't think that this pitching staff is – I don't think this pitching staff has the type of arms that worked well with Coach Thompson. Coach Thompson was a – and it had to do with the fact that we had, you know, the dead bats and we had the balls that moved. He wanted guys who were sinker ball pitchers who kept the ball down, almost kind of junk ball pitchers. That was the type of a pitcher that he coached up. And these guys aren't that. These are power guys. And that's Johnson's forte. Maybe I think you are onto something, though, which because I don't think Johnson has had the time to work with these guys that he should have. And I think that is hurting them because I don't think they're as ready as they normally would be. I mean, Johnson has an incredible track record. And he's obviously done really well with Sexton, with Hudson, even though there's been some inconsistencies there. You can see a huge improvement in both of those guys when they're on. So I think the fact that he was hired on later than we would have liked, I think that is hurting the team. But I think honestly, they'd be even more lost if they had Thompson. Like I said, it's not because of Thompson. It's just because they have two very different philosophies when it comes to pitching.
Mm-hmm. So now let's go ahead and talk about the Oral Roberts game, I guess, a little briefly. A 3-1 loss that ended about 15 minutes ago, as we record, that is. I paid attention to it sort of on Twitter, but I didn't listen to it on the radio or watch it on SEC Plus, if it was on SEC Plus.
So it was,
So I don't know exactly much about the game. I'll just pull up the stats. That's pretty much all. But as far as I could assume, we pitched kind of well and we couldn't hit. Is that a good assumption?
Yeah, that's a pretty good assumption. We pitched okay. We didn't pitch great. We had a lot of walks. That was one of the things, like I said, Zach Houston, that was probably the most disappointing. Even though there were no runs scored when he was out there, he walked like two batters. I mean, he's a junior. He's going to be drafted at some point. Probably a top 10 round selection. He's got control of stuff better. I mean, his ERA is like 1.3, but if you look at his strikes and his walkouts and innings pitched, he's got like 9 walks and 12 innings or something like that. He's got a lot of strikeouts, but he walks a whole bunch of people. That was the big thing tonight. We walked a lot of people. Probably the play, you know, you talked about earlier about there being always one play that where Mississippi State fans just know it's not going to go our way. That happened early after we were down 1-0. Reed Humphreys, he had a home run, but it was he was robbed of it. One of their outfielders climbed the wall and brought it back in the park. And honestly, I mean, that was kind of the point where you think it's not going to go our way tonight.
Mm-hmm. I'll tell you the truth. Going into this game, and, you know, I'm sort of, you definitely know by my tweets that I'm trying my best to limit, but I'm a bit of a pessimist. Yeah, is it evident? Can you tell?
I can tell. I can. You've done a much better job of trying to be a little bit more optimistic. I noticed you were telling John Clark the other day. You were like trying to be the encourager.
I know.
So that's really odd. I mean, it's this team is going to drive people crazy. That's just. I think that's just. We better just get used to it because this team is going to drive some folks crazy. It's like I said earlier, nobody wants to hear, everybody keeps saying, well, I don't want to hear anything about how young they are. You can get upset with people talking about that and Cohen talking about that and Johnson talking about that, but it's still a truth and it's got to be dealt with.
Mm-hmm. Completely off topic for Mississippi State. You may already know this, but I hate bringing this up, but we just lost to the Timberwolves.
Yeah, I know. I saw that. But, I mean, who's playing for us now? I don't even know that.
Our two best players are Lance Stephenson and Tony Allen.
Yeah, we're taking my son to the game on Saturday night, so that's his birthday present.
Uh-huh.
So I'm afraid he's going to watch a 40-point blowout, but we'll see.
As long as we don't lose by 50.
Yeah, that's true.
But I'm excited for, to quote Pete Pranica in the makeup of Memphis Grizzlies player, I'm excited for the signing of Georgetown Germantown.
That was funny last night.
But anyways, back to baseball. I'm just going to look at the pitching stats, and it's pretty much exactly what we've been doing in the midweeks. Just that's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 different pitchers in this one. So, yeah, disappointing. Very disappointing. I will say this, that I said this on Tuesday, that Oral Roberts isn't horrible.
No, they're not. They're a decent team. Yeah. Losing to them is not that bad, but when you couple it with losing to Eastern Kentucky the night before, that's bad.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's if we would have beaten Eastern Kentucky like we should have, really, this loss, I mean, it would probably still sting, but it wouldn't sting as definitely wouldn't sting as much as if we would have taken care of Eastern or I can't speak. It wouldn't have stung as much as losing to Eastern Kentucky as well, which we did, sadly. Right. But anyways, that's all I know about the Oral Roberts game, unless you would like to have some other final little things, thoughts, notes.
No, I mean, I watched it. It was, I mean, you never felt like they were going to do anything. Like I said, I did watch the game, and the bats just weren't working. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's as much improved as we are on offense, we're still going to have days. We're still going to have probably more games like we did today, just where all of a sudden they just go completely out. I mean, the pitcher for Oral Roberts today came in with like a 10.7 ERA or something like that.
Yeah.
So if you think you're going to keep the bats going from last night, but we're just an inconsistent team. I mean, I think we're a talented team, but just wildly inconsistent.
Mm-hmm. So, I should have probably asked you this before the show, but do you want to keep the baseball tray rolling and talk about Vandy, or do you want to get into women's basketball?
Let's go ahead and finish up and talk about Vandy, and then we'll jump into women's basketball.
All right, the Vanderbilt Commodores, currently ranked number 2 and number 3, depending on what poll you look at. I believe number 2 on D1 baseball, which is the one I generally... So Vanderbilt, of course, these past two seasons, national champions, national runners-up, lost some star players in Dansby Swanson and Carson Fulmer, but you know what? They're still Vanderbilt.
Right.
They're currently 16-1 on the year. Their only loss is a loss to or loss at Stanford, and they ended up taking that series 2 games out of 3. Should have played a 4th game if that was canceled, I'm presuming, due to weather. But they also have a series sweep over Xavier. I don't know much about... And a series sweep over San Diego, who I'm assuming is kind of good, because a majority of the teams in California seem to be quality teams. Or as we say on the show here, very quality. but... So, yeah. I'm just going to look at their... stats, because I'm just now pulling them up. I with the exception of just looking at what the games are, how their results are, I don't know much about this team. I don't know if you've been paying attention to them at all.
Not really. I mean, I just know they're good.
Yeah. So I'm going to try to find, if possible, I'm going to try to find any kind of game notes. Because if I can find some game notes, that would be absolutely fantastic. Because in that case, it'll probably show their starting pitchers, and I would love to see their starting pitchers. And
I know they're 4th in the SEC in hitting, but they said on the game tonight that we're 2nd. We had the 2nd highest batting average, and they have the 4th highest batting average. I know that much.
So, yeah, I'll just look at their hitting then. Yeah, they have a current total average of .320. And they're giving up an average of .208.
Yeah, that's not good.
That's how you win baseball games.
Yeah.
They have scored a grand total of 163 runs.
That's good.
In 17 games.
Yeah, they have given up.
They have given up 49.
So that's what, three a game? Yeah, about 3 a game.
I have a calculator. I can get the exact number. Let's see. 49 divided by 17. 2.82.
Yeah. I'm sure most of those are not all those are earned, I would assume.
Yeah. I presume that these two are their are starting pitchers Jordan Sheffield and Ben Bowden, or Bowden, or however you pronounce that.
Those names sound familiar.
Yeah, Jordan Sheffield, who the name I've heard before, currently four appearances, have started four games, ERA of 1.09, 3-1 on the year, 24.2 innings pitched, has struck out 36, and has given up 5 runs.
You know, as great as that is, I mean, we had the same thing with Oregon last week, though.
It's very true. That is very true.
I mean, and every single one of those guys in the Oregon pitching staff are supposed to be all either first-round draft picks or pretty close to it. Mm-hmm. So
I went down their starting rotation stats, and the only reason why Ethan and I both predicted that we were going to get swept is because we didn't think we were going to hit against them.
Right.
All of them were in the top 17 individually in strikeouts in the country. I think I said individually. And they all none of them had an ERA worse than 1.5.
Right.
And we were able to hit on them pretty well.
Mm-hmm.
But going into this, I've said this, I should have prepared about Vanderbilt a little bit more, but once again, they're a top-notch team in the country, and everyone should expect that. I think for this, it's just a matter of momentum. And you mentioned that we'll probably play a lot better in weekends than weekdays, simply because we have a sort of a set-in-stone pitching staff for the weekend. Although they say that the Sunday pitcher will be to be determined, but we can only assume that it will be Daniel Brown.
That's been him every time, so.
Do you think, I'll just ask you this, do you think that the players will have enough momentum going into this? Do you think they'll be motivated enough going into this weekend?
Yeah, I think they will. Baseball is so different than basketball or football. I mean, you're going to have losing streaks. You're going to have games where you don't play as well. And it's just, I mean, we've all heard it before. You know, that's baseball. It's easier to brush off a bad performance in baseball than it is in a football game.
Correct.
In a basketball game.
Correct.
So, like I said, I mean, I don't expect the Bulldogs to go to Nashville and win a series. I don't expect that at all.
Mm-hmm.
But would it shock me? No, it wouldn't. Just because, like I said, this team trying to predict anything with this team, probably until we get about another month into the season, is going to be difficult. Just because you're not going to get the same performance out of these guys 2 or 3 days in a row. But, I mean, the fact that we swept Oregon was a bit shocking, just because I thought we could win that series. I wasn't fully expecting it, but I thought we could win it. But I wasn't expecting a sweep at all. So I think they can rebound. It'll be interesting to see. We've lost like 6 or 7 SEC openers in a row, so we'll have to see what Dakota Hudson does.
Mm-hmm.
Hopefully he can keep him in the game and we can pull out a win. We need a win on Friday night, because with our best guy going, we need that bad.
Another thing is, in my opinion at least, I think that more than likely Austin Sexton has probably been the most inconsistent starter on the team.
Oh yeah.
He had the best, arguably the performance of his career, on Saturday against Oregon. But will you see that on Saturday? And I completely agree with you that I said for the Oregon series that the best chance we would have, I mean, obviously we ended up winning all three games, but going into that, simply looking at the pitching stats, I said the best chance we're going to have of winning is on Friday, simply because Dakota Hudson's our starter.
Right.
And this is the exact same way here against Vanderbilt on Friday. Another question. Which do you think is more important, pitching or hitting?
Oh, that's a good question.
That's sort of the most difficult question to answer about this team.
Yeah, it really is, because, I mean, you just never know. Let me be a little more specific. I think it's starters going deep into the game is the most important thing, because that's the one thing that even our starters are struggling with. I mean, Dakota Hudson, he can rack up 30 pitch innings easily. He's got to cut that out. He'll get ahead 0-2, and then he starts trying to nibble and find that perfect pitch and ends up throwing, you know, 2 or 3 extra pitches per hitter that he doesn't need to be throwing. So I want to say getting our pitchers deep into the, our starting pitchers deep into the ballgame, that's going to be the most important thing, because that's the one thing that they've struggled with so far.
Mm-hmm. And in addition to that, you have no idea what's going to happen with the bullpen. So
no, because that's just a coin toss at this point. Maybe they'll be good, maybe they won't.
It's hard to say, because the one thing that has eluded Mississippi State the last 2 years, obviously, is hitting. Mm-hmm. And you see a guy like Jordan Sheffield and Ben Bowden, who are top-notch pitchers according to stats, right. Especially in Jordan Sheffield's part. And we saw it against UCLA, we saw it a little bit against FAU, that if we can't hit, and we saw it against Oral Roberts, if we can't hit, we're probably not going to be able to win.
No.
And there's a bit of me that's saying that hitting is more important in this series than pitching, but we saw against, particularly in Game 1 against FAU, the reason why we lost, and against Eastern Kentucky, the reason why we lost is because of poor pitching. Yeah. So, it's so difficult to answer that question.
Yeah, I mean, at this point, I mean, coming into this year, I just assumed, you know, that the pitching would be solid, because Cohen's been talking about this is his best pitching staff ever, that he's ever had since he's been coach. So I just assumed the pitching would be solid and we'd have to worry about the hitting. We just need to play complete games where we hit the ball well and we pitch well. When we do that, we're fine. It's almost like the pitching, if it's not good, it affects the bats and they don't do, I don't know. It's a weird team to figure out, just because there's some wild swings, even though we're only about a quarter way into the season. I mean, just some wild, oh my gosh, they look incredible, and just, holy crap, they look terrible. Uh-huh. I mean, just the swings back and forth are, it's far worse than the 2014 team. The 2014 team, we had some of that as well, but nothing like this.
Mm-hmm. And I think Ethan and I were texting each other. I'm just going to get off the Vanderbilt series here. I'm just going to talk about the team in general. But Ethan and I were texting each other, and he said, although this can tie into the Vanderbilt series, he said, if we take the series against Vanderbilt, these past two games against Eastern Kentucky and Oral Roberts will be irrelevant.
Yeah, that's true. I mean, that's completely true. Just because that's what we're going to be focusing so much more. And honestly, that's what John Cohen focuses so much more on. He's preparing now for SEC play, and that's what he's focusing on. These midweek games, I don't think he thinks that much about them. I don't think he's that concerned with them. I'm not sure if it was last. It was in 2014. I remember hearing on one of the SEC network broadcasts, somebody said John Cohen coaches and manages for the postseason. He doesn't value the regular season much, and that makes sense. When you look at his regular season, he hasn't had a dominant regular season yet.
We saw that in 2013, especially.
Yeah.
That beginning of the regular season, starting 17-0, was fine, but then we started struggling towards SEC play. Mm-hmm. But we picked it up towards the end of the season.
Right. So it wouldn't surprise me if we go into Vanderbilt and win. I'm not expecting it. But it wouldn't surprise me if we go in and win two games. I mean, in 2014, when we played Vanderbilt, nobody was expecting us to beat them.
17-2, game one.
Yeah, and we ended up winning the first two games, blew them out the first time. So, like I said, baseball is funny. It's a funny game. It's not as predictable as football or basketball. There's a lot more to it in terms of just head games and things like that. Whereas if you're just the far more physical, more athletic team in football or basketball, you're probably going to win. That's not the case in baseball. Baseball, it's just a different animal.
Mm-hmm. So although we didn't talk a whole bunch about the Vanderbilt series itself, more just about the season, I guess that unless you would like to say something about Vanderbilt, I guess we can just go ahead and try our best to predict it.
I'll say one win. I think we'll get at least one. But like I said, it wouldn't shock me if we won the series.
I'll predict one. And if there is one day we would win, what would it be? I'm saying Friday.
Yeah, I'm saying that too. As long as Dakota Hudson can go at least in seven innings. If he goes less than seven, I'm worried. But if he can give us at least seven innings, I think we got a good shot.
And another important thing, especially on Friday, because, I mean, we've seen that Dakota Hudson struggles in sort of the first inning, struggles to get going at first, we're going to need to be able to counter that and score some runs somewhat early in the game.
And that's why it typically is for most good pitchers. If you're going to get them, you're going to get them early. And so we need to, it'd be great if we could score two or three runs in the top of the first inning and kind of set the tone. And that way he's got something to work with and hopefully can settle in a little bit quicker.
Mm-hmm. So we both predict one game. I think Ethan predicted after the Eastern Kentucky game that he still thinks we're going to take two. I don't know if that prediction has changed or not. But let's just go with that.
Right. And honestly, had we not lost Eastern Kentucky, I think winning one would have been fine. Nobody would have freaked out. But people are going to freak out if we don't win the series just because of the fact that we lost Eastern Kentucky and Oral Roberts. People are going to start kind of jumping off a cliff if we don't win the series, which is a little premature still with just this being the first SEC series, but people will still do it.
Mm-hmm. So let's get into some women's basketball. The Mississippi State women are headed to the NCAA tournament. And by headed, I mean we are staying home. The Starkville pod. We'll just go with that.
That works for me.
A thing that shouldn't have happened. We should be in East Lansing. Michigan State's in East Lansing. We should be in East Lansing right now.
Right.
But we're not. Thank you to whatever was scheduled in that arena during this time.
It's the girls' high school basketball championships for the state of Michigan.
Oh. I guess Michigan State wasn't expecting a good year.
The only thing I can assume is it's kind of like what they do with our football championships, where they rotate it from the big stadiums like Ole Miss, Mississippi State, and now Southern's getting involved on it as well. Mm-hmm. I would assume that they rotate that around, and that's just this is just their year. I would assume, but I could be wrong about that.
Mm-hmm. But the opponent that we play will be the University of Tennessee at Chattanooga.
The Mocs.
Yes, correct. The Mocs. Can you name the most famous, one of the most famous people who has graduated from UT Chattanooga, Justin?
I'm assuming you're talking about Terrell Owens.
No, but he's up there.
Oh, okay. Well, who else?
The person I'm thinking of is Dennis Haskins, played Mr. Belding.
Ah, okay. Yeah. I did not realize that.
Yeah, I found that out I saw that on Wikipedia. So, yeah, that's a fun fact. Let's talk about their...
Terrell is going to be ticked off if he ever finds out you said Mr. Belding is more famous than him.
Well, I never necessarily said that. I was just thinking of that in my mind.
Okay.
Terrell Owens is kind of obvious, because if people know that he graduated from the University of Tennessee Chattanooga, he's definitely more famous than Mr. Belding.
Yes.
So people would think about that automatically, but Mr. Belding is a bit more obscure.
Yes, he is. So, I'm surprised that's after your time.
I know my stuff somewhat, kind of. I try to get a bit of history in me.
Yes, Saved by the Bell. Important history there.
But the University of Tennessee Chattanooga women's basketball team, our first opponent, the 12 seed in the first round. They are 24-7 on the year. They won the Southern Conference, the SoCon tournament. They played three ranked opponents in the regular season, all of which are in the NCAA tournament. They played Tennessee, Stanford, and Tennessee, Connecticut, South Florida, and Stanford. Four really good teams. They lost to Tennessee by only 2 points, but then got absolutely blown out of the water against Connecticut, South Florida, and Stanford. They clicked in conference play, but I don't really know how good the remainder of the Southern Conference is.
Well, here's the thing about women's basketball. I'm sure I listened to y'all on some of your shows, and y'all have covered this some. With women's basketball, it's like you have subsets of teams. The top 5 to 6 teams are so far and above. There's UConn all by themselves, mm-hmm. and you're just not beating them. The only way you're beating them is if they just decide not to play. But then there's 4 or 5 teams after them that are so good. And South Carolina's in that.
It's South group. Carolina, Texas,
Notre Dame.
Who else is a 1 seed this year? Maryland is a 2 seed. Maryland's in there. Teams like that.
Yeah, they're so good that. you might beat them, but you're going to have to play your absolute, complete, total best. And you have to be, like, one of the top 25 teams to even have a chance of beating them, because otherwise you're not. I mean, then you got this group that NC State is in, where there's about 20 of them that are pretty good and really good, and they can beat each other, but chances of them beating that top group is almost next to nothing. You just don't see them that many upsets. Mm-hmm. I mean, when you start looking at the results of the women's tournament, I mean, it's almost always pure chalk.
Yeah. So UT Chattanooga is pretty much, they play well against mediocre to bad teams. They can get close, because, I mean, Tennessee is probably in the tier below Mississippi, and I can't believe I'm saying this about women's basketball, but Tennessee is probably in the tier below Mississippi State.
Yeah, that's sure they are.
So they play well against somewhat good in that instance. They lost by 2 to Tennessee, but then when they play, I mean, in South Florida this year is in the tier alongside Mississippi State. We beat South Florida this season.
That's right, we did. We played them earlier this year. I forgot about that.
So they got murdered by South Florida. They lost 61-33.
Oh wow.
They lost 79-31 to UConn and 73-30 to Stanford. So this team isn't good against good teams.
No. This is a game that they should win.
Yes. So Mississippi State, I presume we're predicting a win here.
Yeah, I'd be surprised if they lost. But they being at home, I can't imagine that they're going to lose this game.
And the team we're presuming we're going to play, I'm not sure who Michigan State plays in the first round.
Yeah, I knew, but I forgot.
But Michigan State is the 4 seed, 24-8 on the year. They've played quality teams. The Big Ten is a really good conference this year with teams like Ohio State, Maryland, and Indiana. Michigan State played a common opponent. They beat Georgia by 21 points in East Lansing.
Okay.
66-45. They another team out of conference they lost to is Louisville, who is not hosting. I think they're a 5 seed, maybe?
Mm-hmm.
5 or 6 seed out of the ACC. They lost to them by single digits. They played Maryland twice, lost to them. Played Indiana, lost to them, and Ohio State, who I think is a 6 seed, could be wrong, but I think is a 6 seed, they split the series there. So Michigan State is similar to Mississippi State, where they play really good teams. They're sort of in between in those kinds of games. They have their moments, because if you look at it, Mississippi State, you know, we fell to Kentucky and Texas A&M and South Carolina twice.
Right.
So Michigan State, as far as I can tell, simply looking at the schedule, Michigan State and Mississippi State are pretty similar.
Which makes sense, since they're both 4 and 5.
Yes. And also another similarity, the best team in the Big Ten this year was Maryland, coming into this tournament as a 2 seed. The best team in, Michigan State beat Ohio State twice because they beat them in the Big Ten tournament. But Michigan State made it to the Big Ten Tournament Championship against the best team in the conference and lost that game. So two similar teams in that Mississippi State made it to the Conference Tournament Championship, lost that game, Michigan State. So, but once again, they're pretty similar. And in my opinion, trying my best simply to predict women's basketball, this game will come down to home court advantage.
Yeah, I think that's a pretty good way of saying it. And I think that's one reason why Mississippi State fans should be thankful that we've got it this year.
Thank you to the girls' high school game people in Michigan.
Yes.
We love you.
We do.
We are very appreciative of you. And if we beat Michigan State and UT Chattanooga, we will not give you a hug, because that would be weird. but we will send you a keychain or something. I don't know what that came from. But I'm out of curiosity's sake, I'm just going to look at the stats for Michigan State women's basketball, assuming that we're going to play them in the second round.
I think that's a safe assumption.
Let me find their stats. They're just looking at individual stats, trying to find stuff. Here we are. Michigan State averages 76.1 points per game, gives up 64.3. So, pretty good offensive team.
Right.
Shooting a 43.9 field goal percentage, giving up 38.6. Turnovers, if that's anything, they average 17 turnovers per game.
Oh, wow.
So this team seems prone to turning the ball over.
And that, like, plays right into Mississippi State's hands.
But at the same time, they're giving up 16, or they're forcing 16 turnovers per game.
Mm-hmm. So there could be a lot of turnovers.
Yes. This could be, although Michigan State seems to have their strength offensively, Mississippi State's strength is defense.
Right.
And I think we'll be able to stop, not necessarily stop them, but at least slow them down with turnovers on their side. This could be an ugly game.
Yeah, it could be. I mean, honestly, shots typically don't fall as often when you're on the road. So I think that plays in Mississippi State's hands. So once again, thanks to shout out to those Michigan State folks for scheduling the tournament there.
Yes.
But yeah, I think that's a pretty safe assumption. You want defense travels, offense that doesn't necessarily travel. So I think Mississippi State's going to be in pretty good shape come Sunday.
Mm-hmm. So any prediction you want to?
Like actual score?
If you want to.
I'll say we'll win against UT Chattanooga. We'll say 65-45. I think it's gonna be a blowout. And then we'll beat Michigan State. I think it's gonna be a low scoring game. 56-51.
I'll agree. I can genuinely agree with both of them. I'll just say something along those lines for my part, because I think those are both very fair predictions. And then we're going to lose in the Sweet 16.
Yeah, I mean, at least you have a chance. You don't have a chance if you don't even show up, so at least they'll go and they'll learn and they'll be a better team for it. And they can maybe use it to propel them in next year. It's kind of like what, I don't know if you listened to, I think it was yesterday on Keep It 100.
Yeah, I do listen to that show. I don't listen to it every single time due to scheduling things. I have to go to school and then I do homework and stuff, but I try to listen to it when I can.
He compared this year's women's team to the 1995 men's team. That was the year it was a good team, it was a solid team, ended up going to Sweet 16, but
lost to once UCLA, right?
Yeah, got hammered by UCLA in the Sweet 16, who won the national championship that year, but it set up the 96 team for them to make their epic run that we've all heard so much about since it's 20-year anniversary. Mm-hmm. I think that's a good comparison.
That is a good comparison.
I mean, this team's come. I mean, it's basically the exact same team coming back next year. I mean, this could be a. I think they're definitely gonna be top 10 preseason. They could be a top 5 team preseason.
Mm-hmm. I mean, in my opinion, next year, I don't know if I'm getting too carried away with myself here, but this could be a team that could be in that tier with South Carolina.
Yeah, I think so, because I think South Carolina is losing quite a bit this year, if I remember correctly.
I mean, we can only assume that South Carolina will be recruiting, but still, that inexperience, it could be sort of like a Kentucky men's basketball,
right?
Where they dip down due to some pure inexperience. But yeah, that's pretty much that. We normally get questions by our friend of the show, Mr. Vanderlip, but we're bare today. The cupboard is bare, so we don't have any questions. So yeah, I normally ask Ethan for final thoughts. So Justin, do you have any final thoughts?
Final thoughts, I would say, regardless of what happens to in the Vanderbilt series, try not to make too much of it either way, whether we win two games, lose all three, lose one. Don't make too much of it one way or the other, because I think this team, regardless of what happens this weekend, it's still got a lot of growing to do. So I don't think that – I think the team that we see this weekend against Vanderbilt will look very different come 3 weeks from this weekend. So I think that's one thing, and, you know, let's just go out and take care of business on the basketball court.
So, yeah, that will do it for this episode of the Baba. I can't speak. Ethan should be back on Tuesday. I think he went to like Austin, Texas for some reason. And that's why he couldn't show up today. And he was sick on Tuesday.
Oh, okay.
So he could be back. Let's just keep it at that. If so, we'll talk about women's basketball and our trip to the Sweet 16, baseball, and hopefully Dak won't get arrested.
Well, let's hope not.
Yeah, that'd be fantastic. But anyways, that will do it for this episode. Justin, I appreciate it, sir. It was very short notice, and it's currently 10:11 where we are. It's late, but I appreciate your coming on the show today.
Oh, no problem. Thanks for having me, Daniel.
Yes, we should do this again sometime because I enjoyed it.
I do too. Thanks, sir.
But that will do it for this episode. Until then, until next time, thank you all for listening, and remember to be #VeryQuality.